John, the mission was 12 points out of 12. We got 9 out of 12. Is it good enough for you?
I don't know, Danny. I was hoping for at least 10 at the 60-minute mark. I thought maybe Ajman could get a goal. What happened, Danny?
Got the hook.
Hell yeah, we can challenge for a league title.
Charlotte Soccer Show. It's John Hayes. It's Danny Brams. What's going on? It's great to see y'all, the TIFOs. Welcome back to another episode of the show. It's great to be talking about Charlotte FC, but not a win this time around, Danny. We're talking about a loss at home and a spectacle on Saturday night for many, many reasons. We're going to talk about riding the wave. We're going to talk about Wilfried Zaha. Of course, the referees. Dino's many thoughts on the men who made crucial decisions during this match, to say the least. But you're going to break all that down. And I know it's great to see you. And what was your take? You were in the building. I was not. As you were walking out, what was your gut reaction to the loss?
As I was walking out, Johnny, I was pissed. I got to admit, I was pissed leaving the fortress. I thought it was just unbearable. It was my three-word reaction is not good enough. Not good enough. I looked up the scoreboard. The last thing I did before I walked in back into the bowels of Bank of America Stadium was to take a picture of the scoreboard, just because I wanted those stats to burn into my camera and my head. It said 18 shots, 4 on goal, no goals scored. 18 shots, no goals scored. Johnny, how does that happen? It's we're on the You always like to say we're riding the wave. I feel like we crashed on the waves on this one. It was a rough scene. And I realized we're not necessarily riding waves. We're riding the Wilfried Zaha train. And the Zaha train was all over the tracks on Saturday. And it's really has been beyond just the results of the match. The fallout has been, you know, all the fingers are now being pointed at our mercurial designated player superstar.
Welcome to the Wilfried Zaha experience, Charlotte FC. This is what it is. We told you about this before the season. We had conversations like this. And just because the haters are out doesn't mean Wilfried Zaha is going to just ignore them. He's going to come maybe right for you. And I believe he put out a statement on his social media, Danny. He addressing the haters straight on. Well, for Zaha, he says, typical. We lost a game and somehow it's Zaha's fault. You can read this statement in two different ways. You can read it as Zaha or Zava, whatever you prefer. We lost a game and somehow it's Zaha's fault. I dribble. I'm selfish. I keep it simple. I'm not doing what I'm being paid to do. I shoot. I should have passed. I pass. I should have finished my chances. Adjusting to a year out and not playing properly, only trained fully for maybe 3 weeks because of having a newborn and playing on AstroTurf for the first time in my whole career. You know what? Like AstroTurf, what a great... When I think of AstroTurf, I think of Veterans Stadium in the 90s.
Yeah, that's like from the 80s. Yeah, exactly. That's like as bad as our turf is, at least it's not AstroTurf, right?
Zaha goes on to say, I usually wouldn't reply to this stupid shit, but I'm not a scapegoat for people to waffle about in at clubs anymore. Zaha, this Zaha, that. But we had the best start ever, and we've been first in the league, so please stop chapping, especially my name. Thanks, management. With a upside down face and what was that, a little white heart in the corner.
That's the statement.
It's the Wilfried Zaha experience. I read that for our podcast listeners. We love you out there. Thanks for listening to the show via audio only. But for those here on YouTube, you saw it as well. And now you're going to see us have some fun breaking it down and laughing about the statement from our DP.
I love that phrase, stop chapping. Stop chapping. Anyone comes at me from now on, it's like, hey, stop chapping. You know, you don't like what my job performance is not up to par. I'm not being the best in my personal relationships. Stop chapping. Leave me alone. Stop chapping. That's, you know, it's the new move.
It's one of those things where it's like, when I hear the phrase chapping, it's like, hey, stop chapping my ass. Like, for some reason, I've heard that phrase. So I get it. It's like I've heard the word before, but it's just funny the way that he's using it. It was the Wilfred Zaha experience Saturday night at the Fortress, Danny. It absolutely was. And what you saw there was from start to finish, 90 minutes of either Wilfred Zaha is going to win us this match or Charlotte FC is going to lose the match. That's what this game was. And that's what it became. And we witnessed it play out in real time.
Yeah, Johnny. And I'm going to call up a clip here that we can talk about a little bit. This is a clip I put together of just a ton of missed chances by Charlotte. Early on, 12 minutes in, Zaha, he grit wide open. You would have thought he would have maybe first timed that on a nice pop pass from Pep. There he gets fouled bad, but the continuation allows Aujmarn to get a shot that's saved. Pep fires one. Wilf dribble. You know, he beats three guys off a dribble. Should have got a corner kick there. Ref made a bad call. Here's a long shot from Pat when he might have found Zaha sort of standing there. Here's a great pass from Zaha where he had just ran the whole length of the field and Liel shoots it over the bar. That's the worst missed chance of the whole night.
Yes, it is.
Later on,
it was a hilarious call by the play-by-play announcer too.
He was like, no! He's like, no!
Oh, no!
Yeah, it was so good. And Toklamani had some chances late. Kerwin Vargas came in. Kerwin Vargas showing out from right wing back, by the way. Keep an eye on that because Dino's commented on it. But here's the picture I took of the scoreboard. 18 shots, 4 on goal. Just an absolute disaster class, if you will. Sure felt like it to me. And we're going to talk about the referee angle. We're going to talk about a little bit about maybe Patrick Aujmarn coming off a little early, subbed early when he was doing good. But as you said, Johnny, it's the Wilf Zaha show. This is Wilfred Zaha's team as far as being the face of the franchise to other people, to the outside world, MLS commentators. Ever since Zaha put that statement, that Snapchat out, Taylor Twellman has chimed in. Dax McCarty, friend of the show, has chimed in. Bradley Wright Phillips and Dax McCarty were going back and forth over what the Zaha experience means with our boy Kevin Egan on MLS Wrap-Up. And just like, for better or for worse, he gets people talking about this club. And so he could have easily had a brace. He could have easily had 2 assists. I mean, it could have easily been a 4-1 win or 4-0 win against New England. Their goal was not anything special, but it just didn't come together. And I was surprised the fans seemed to take this loss a lot harder than the players. I would say that. And I don't know if that is going to happen from time to time. You don't want that to become the norm, obviously, if the fans are always taking it worse than the players. You don't want the players to be all like, oh, we suck, blah, 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 we lost, our winning streak's over. You want them to be able to take things in stride. But I did feel a little bit like they were kind of downplaying just how bad the performance was from the team to not finish any of those goals.
Well, it's easy to create a scapegoat, right? And Wilfred Zaha thinks, you know, he's the scapegoat, but it seemed like Dino wanted to pick another scapegoat in this match, and it was the referees, right? And let's list the scapegoats here. Wilfred Zaha comes in and calls himself one because there's fans out there chirping. I don't know where they are. I haven't seen it, but
right. Who is that Snapchat even directed to? Wilf, that's what I want to know. Is like, who are these people that are blaming you? Like, he was having some chatter. Like towards the last 10, 15 minutes of the game, he was bantering a lot. And it sort of looked like he was yelling at the Revs bench, but he also might have been some fans in the front row, sort of off to the side of the bench. He was going at it.
I saw that, and that was clear on TV. Yeah. It was clear on TV, and you were there not far away from that. So it was like it was clear on TV. And I thought the same thing, that he was chirping with the New England bench and Caleb Porter, the New England head coach. I thought that there was just a lot of chatter there. I didn't even think for a second that it could have been with a fan in the stands, but you were there. If you didn't see it, it probably wasn't happening.
No, it looked from in the building, it looked like he was yelling at the Revs bench. But then when I saw it later on TV, it looked like, oh, maybe he was chirping at our fans. I don't know. I do think the Revs were trying really hard to get under his skin, and the team is aware of it. Here's Westwood. Ashley Westwood, the captain, was asked about Wilf Zaha and the criticism. This is even before the Snapchat came out, but here's what Westy had to say about Wilf Zaha.
Rolf's been getting that since he's been here, and he needs to be looked after because every other DP in the league, every other team, if they get kicked there, I'm told to tell our players not to kick him again, and again, Wilf just keeps getting kicked around the pitch and nothing gets done of it.
Now Zaha off of one tackle, to ground he goes, referee says no foul.
Well, you're hoping the referee does it. It's not for me to protect my players. It's It's just me to remind the referee that he's been kicked 7 times and nothing's been done. I've been on a team that did that to Wilf, so I know. wherever club Wilf goes at, that's what we used to say to him. Let's try and get under his skin and torment him. But he still does his job, and he's magic at times. And I think you saw tonight in the first half he was getting to the Wilf that I certainly know he can be, and he looked dangerous. He looked dangerous tonight. And
great comments by Westy there. I really enjoyed it, and especially the part about him being on other teams in the Premier League that's kicked Wilf.
So I think
he's talking about either a Burnley team playing Palace or a Villa team playing Palace.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yep.
I wonder. I had to go back and take a look at one of those.
Yeah, we'll have to see the exact ones they matched up. But he's taking it in stride. The team seemed to take it in stride.
This would be a good time for me to say the reason why I'm wearing this cap tonight, as we're talking about the Premier League, is I just wanted to remind the fans, we're talking about a loss and some drama off the pitch. To Wilf's point, you could be Spurs. You know, you could be having like one of the worst seasons in your Premier League history. But no,
it could always be worse in the football world.
Just wanted to bring that perspective tonight's show.
To dare is to do, right? To dream is to dare or to do, or
to dare is to do. You got that right, Danny. And so, I mean, like when Westy comes out and talks like that, first and foremost, yes, that's what the game plan is to get under Wilf's skin, because when you succeed at that, things will sometimes, I guess, get a little more intense, right? Mm-hmm. He's a competitor. It's hard to be on the pitch for 90 minutes and continue to be fouled. And he's in a position for this club right now where he has two options, and his teammates have two options as well. Do you just kind of take it and deal with it, or do you just kind of speak publicly and let players and coaches and the league itself know that, hey, this is happening and you've got to do something about it? What can they do about it, Danny?
I do think that the refs need to, look after him a little more. I think he deserves a little bit more respect from the referee. The worst foul against him last night was called, and I believe it might have been even resulted in a booking, but of course it didn't stop play because the ball fell to Ajimong, and we got the advantage was played, and Patrick got a good shot off that was unfortunately shot it right at the keeper. But right. There were other moments where I think Wilf was fouled and it wasn't called. I don't think he's being treated unfairly or harshly, but I do think he could be treated better and looked after a little more, as Ashley says.
That's right. So, I mean, for me, the missed chances, you mentioned Patrick having one there. That to me is another huge, huge topic in this match, Danny, is Patrick Ajimong mm-hmm. being subbed out.
Let's go there.
The 66th minute or 65th minute, one of the two. Ajimong gets the early hook, and it was clear as day on his face that he was surprised that 33 was shown on the board in red.
Mm-hmm.
Ajimong kind of looked to the sidelines, and without him seeing, being like, me, mm-hmm. he basically was like, wait a minute, me?
Yeah. He's like, I'm dominating here. I'm getting all kinds of chances. I'm going to call up the heat maps for the attackers here. These are for the starting attackers. And this the substitution happened when Pep Biel was subbing out hurt. Pep, we knew something type of sub would happen here in the 65th minute, because Pep was down. Pep was being treated. And that's a storyline that could linger. We don't have a total update on that. Dean mentioned a tight hamstring. Hopefully they caught that before any serious damage was done. But you look at Patrick here, scoring a 7.7 on SofaScore without a goal or an assist is pretty insane. The guy was having a hell of a game. He was making all kinds of runs. He was making things happen. I was really impressed with Patrick, and I was much like you, John. I was quite surprised. I thought Dean Smith got this one wrong. We give Dean so much love on this show. I think it's a time to say he might have got this one wrong. He had his reasons for subbing Patrick out. He said, in Dean's words, let's just listen to Dean's words because he can explain it better than I can.
Yeah, no, I thought he looked tired in the second half. He made a few good early runs, and then after that, because it, the first 20 minutes he was making really good runs, and he stopped making them runs for the next 15, 20. We spoke to him at halftime. He made them again, and then I just thought it was Tottenham Hotspur's, you know, opportunity. And, you know, he was very close to scoring not just one, but two goals.
You buy that that Patrick looked tired out there?
I don't know. I think just because Patrick stopped running in behind and maybe making the runs that Dean wanted him to, doesn't mean he wasn't impacting the game in other ways. I think Dean was maybe annoyed that Patrick wasn't doing what he was being asked to do, which is make runs in behind.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what Patrick was being asked to do. And clearly Dean stated that after the match. And then when he didn't see Patrick making those runs, he took him off the pitch to put Idan Toklamadi in there, maybe because Idan would make the runs with fresh legs.
And here's Idan's heat map. I don't see a ton of runs in behind there coming from Idan personally. I mean, I see a lot of missed chances standing right on the 6-yard box, those headers that wouldn't go in.
Which is interesting because those are kind of chances you'd want Patrick Aujamon to have, right?
Right, exactly. There was one header that Idan was not quite on top of enough. Maybe a slightly taller Patrick Aujamon gets there. There was one where he got no power on the long pass in from Westy. The three chances that came to Toklamadi were all chances I would have wanted Patrick Aujamon to have. That's what I'll say. That's why it felt so weird. And all love to Toklo. If he finishes those, we're singing his praises. You know, his XG is sitting there at 0.85 in 25 minutes. He clearly had his chances. He just couldn't finish.
Yeah, that's a great call out about expected goals. And I think there's a lot of criticism about that stat, and it's not always the best stat. But with context and knowing how this game played out, seeing that expected goal number as 0.85 gives you an idea that, yes, Toklamadi should have scored a goal, and this should have at least been a point in a draw at home.
Yeah, and Charlotte FC's XG as a team was over 2. So to have, you know, I mean, with the 18 shots, with the XG over 2, and to score none and lose 1-0 at home to a team that is a little bit better but started the season pretty poorly, it's just bad. And I think we have to say the gaffer got it wrong. The gaffer got it wrong for once.
He did get it wrong. One more thing, if you put that graphic back up, Danny.
I'd be happy to. The subs?
The subs, yes, exactly right. Eric Williamson,
mm-hmm.
Somebody that I think people were looking to see in this match make an impact. 25 minutes, a real opportunity. When his number was called, I was kind of excited about it. Somebody that I spoke about recently on a previous episode, just kind of a spark, it seemed like, off the bench. A no-show, MIA.
Yeah. Did not make an impact out there. Made nine passes and connected on 7 of them, no crosses. Kerwin Vargas, much, much more impactful as a sub. What I saw when Eric Williamson came in for an injured Pep Biel, I thought to myself, okay, this is the match where Eric Williamson becomes a Charlotte FC player and does something to like sort of endear himself into fans' hearts. And he was unable to deliver on that. And then I walked away and I was like, man, Pep better not be hurt legit or we're in serious trouble. And I like Eric Williamson's game, but I felt a lot better with Pep Biel out there, you know, no shade.
Okay. I mean, I'm not going to go that far and be like, I don't trust him if Pep's out, because this is a 25 minute performance. Obviously it wasn't up to par. I would it be interesting to see how he would do with a couple run of games under his belt.
Sure.
Right? Like, just give him a couple of minutes. Fair enough.
We may see. We're standing by for Pep updates later this week.
It looked like a hamstring issue.
Yes, tight hamstring was the official word. Nothing strained or pulled, but just hopefully a preventative substitution for sure.
We'll see. That would be ideal. He looked like he wasn't in serious pain. He made a move at the ball.
Yeah, he walked off under his own power, walked all the way around.
But that was definitely, as Pep was walking off the pitch, I was kind of scouring the fans from the camera on Apple just to see what the reaction was, because I figured most people are like, oh, that is not what we wanted to see tonight.
No.
Pep Biel is somebody that has taken Biel's taken MLS by storm, and a lot of people are talking about him. And unfortunately, all the buzz, and that's the problem with when you talk about the campaign, Danny, it's like all the buzz about the squad atop the table, on winning streak at home, not even unbeaten, winning streak, no draws. All of a sudden, the gaffer gets it wrong, you can't score goals, and the Eastern Conference table looks a lot different.
And yeah.
You want to be top, but you can fall down so quickly with a loss at home. Those are the points that you need to stay top of the table.
Yep. Yeah. And we are no longer near the top of the table. I will show you. Thankfully, Miami lost in a crazy game on Sunday, so we're still ahead of them. We'll get to the table in a second, but I got to say, the reason, Johnny, I feel confident sort of framing this whole episode, this whole reaction as a gaffer got it wrong situation is because you can agree / disagree with, you know, did Ajman get hooked too early? You know, were the tactics right for how to break down New England? I mean, we got plenty of shots, so I think the tactics are not wrong. But where I think you can say that Dean got it wrong is in failure to criticize his team's performance in what really was one of the worst performances of the year. I think, I mean, just as from a fan's perspective, I know they can point to a million things as to why it was actually a good performance, but you get 18 shots and no goals, that's bad to me. And then he deflects everything by putting all the criticism onto the referee, complaining about Zaha, fouls against Zaha not getting called, complaining a lot about the goal that New England scored, which I think that's a valid complaint. Dean was adamant that there was an offside player who interfered with Kalina's field of vision that allowed Carlos Heel's cross. Was not a shot. It was certainly a cross to get to the back of the net. Let me play what Dino said for you, and then you tell me, Johnny, am I overreacting? Because Westwood was agreeing with him. So, I mean, maybe you know, the captain and the gaffer are aligned on this, but I didn't love these comments.
That's probably the most incompetent performance from our officials, in my opinion, that I've seen.
And I'll back him up. He's, yeah, it's... Listen, I don't want to come and... It's a tough job they've got, but...
I asked the fourth official for a rule. He didn't even know. So, it's incompetence, and... I get a yellow card for telling them it's incompetence when everybody looks at the screen and sees. I've just spoke to Polston, he said he tries to head it and he's in an offside position. He's offside.
He just wants to make it about himself and he's got all the attention tonight, so well done to him.
It actually doesn't feel like a loss because the officials have taken the game away from us, not.
We can be pleased with the performance, not pleased with the ref.
We're happy to go and play a competitive game of football, not a problem, but referee problem.
A lot to unpack there.
Yeah, there is, for sure. And those are comments in the heat of battle, right?
Mm-hmm.
I recently heard this reminds me of a quote I've recently heard by Shane Lowry, huge fan of Shane Lowry. And I believe he said this at the Masters, a great Irish golfer, open champion. And he was like, you know, tennis players get a break before they have to go talk to the media. There's like actually a cool down period for tennis players.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, you know, sometimes we need that as golfers. When we come off he goes, I just bogeyed the last like two holes. I had a shit finish to my day. The last thing I want to be doing is answering your questions about it right now.
I'm pissed.
And like, yeah. you could see it on Dino's face. Like he needed to like cool down for a little bit.
Yeah. And a friend of the show, Carol Walton, she reported that it was one of the fastest turnaround times for the start of the postgame presser. Like he wasted no time. He like walked off the pitch into the press conference room.
That's pretty good.
Called the guy incompetent three times and marched out of there. You know, it was great. So, I mean, as a fan, I love it. I love the shithousing. I love people who have strong takes. I love not being able afraid to call incompetence. The fourth official should know the rules and the laws of a game better than a manager. So you never want to be a manager who's like informing the fourth official about certain rules. But so multiple things can be true. It was bad reffing, but I don't want to come away from a game when we should have been finishing off a 12 points out of 12 stretch at home and you had 18 shots and you had no goals. That's why you lost. You didn't lose. The referee was horrible. But you didn't lose because of the referee. And that's where I think the nuance and the distinction has to live.
It's a great rant. And I think it makes a lot of sense for sure. And I'm going to agree with it. I think that's right. And but we know that this is what Dean does. He likes to, he likes to talk about it. It's not like this is an outlier.
Right. No. Just... Dean versus refs has been a story for 2 years for sure. And this is like one of the most fiery chapters, if you will, in that storybook for sure.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Absolutely.
And we assume he'll be fined for those comments. Nothing as of this recording, nothing has come out, but we assume he's going to be paying a little bit of a fine there.
Right.
And maybe Westwood too for Green.
No, there probably will be a fine for sure. Yeah. I think, there will be a. One point I wanted to make about the referees for sure was that, and I mean this sincerely, and I vaguely remember having this same issue for another match. I do. I think the TIFOs would be able to figure out deep in the archives whether I have criticized the referees in the past for not being able to get the basic job of getting their kits the right colors.
Right.
Like the referees' kits were black and pink. And right. The black was very, very similar to New England's black or dark navy shorts.
Sure.
And the pink was very, very similar to New England's red on their shoulders. And there was many times in this match where I felt like Charlotte FC had a pass and didn't make it because the referee was kind of standing in the way.
Interesting.
I truly believe that. And forget about the colors, but forget about the referee. I'm telling you, the referee was like even standing in the wrong position.
Yeah.
Throughout this match, it was incompetence. Dean was so the fundamental question about this segment is, and it's for people to ponder, did Dino actually get it right?
Maybe the gaffer got it right. The gaffer got it right. His facts were right. His overall arching theme was wrong. I guess I don't know. And
he got people, it wrong by taking off Patrick. He got it wrong by taking.
Well, exactly. You're coming from on this.
But he might have gotten it right in my opinion. I mean, so maybe I do disagree with you. That he maybe have gotten it right by saying that the referees were at fault. But again, can you play that clip one more time, Danny? Because I think it's important for people to hear exactly one phrase.
That's probably the most incompetent performance from our officials, in my opinion, that I've seen.
And I'll back him up. He's, listen, I don't want to come and, it's a tough job they've got, but.
I asked the fourth official for a rule, he didn't even know. So, it's incompetence, and I get a yellow card for telling them it's incompetence when everybody looks at the screen and sees, I've just spoke to Colston, he said he tries to head it. If he tries to head it, he's in an offside position, he's offside.
He just wants to make it about himself, and he's got all the attention tonight, so well done to him.
It actually doesn't feel like a loss because the officials have taken the game away from us, not.
We can be pleased with the performance, not pleased with the ref.
We're happy to go and play a competitive game of football, not a problem, but referee problem.
Okay, the key phrase was, and you waited for it to the end, was it actually didn't feel like a loss.
Jeez.
because they took it away from us. It's like. Yeah. That was when he went too far.
I don't know, man. That's where you definitely go a little too far because they didn't take away anything because you didn't go get anything. Yes. You didn't score any goals, bro. They didn't take when you don't score. No one took anything away from you. You know, maybe they took your draw away, but they didn't take away a win.
But that's soccer, Danny. And I think there's soccer managers all over the world that like to make excuses after matches. I can think of some funny ones from this year. Mikel Arteta, after a loss, talked about a different ball being used in a cup match for Arsenal. You know, Ange Postecoglou was making excuses about injuries throughout the entire season. And then when he has a full squad, they lose. And it's another excuse. The injury excuse was just something to placate. There's always banter back and forth. I mean, think about the way Jose Mourinho acted stops. About Antonio Conte as well. Like Dino's part of that group, man.
Yeah.
Like we can't lose sight of that and perspective on that. That
no
Dino
doubt.
Coached in those same circles and then came from that same type of culture where here in the United States, that kind of talk after a match usually doesn't happen as much as it does overseas for sure.
And well John, I've officially added question marks to our lower third graphic. This already said gaffer gets one wrong as a statement. Now I've changed it to gaffer gets one wrong as a question. So it's more up in the air. Yeah.
Well, it's more important than that. Anytime you watch Charlotte Soccer Show, you decide.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like you don't have to whatever Danny and I say, at the end of the day, we're trying to make you think about your own opinion and what you
it's more fun when it's more fun when you and I are not in total agreement. It's definitely more fun when the TIFOs get involved in the conversation. The real question, whether this is a question or not, the real question coming out of this is the big picture impact. And we have to ask, is Dino truly at the wheel? Have we Have we had it good with the lucky draw against Seattle and the comeback against Nashville that was a little bit, you know, unlikely? And is Charlotte FC really overachieving? And maybe Dino's closer to losing the handle on this thing than we realize. What do you think?
That's what I think, Dan.
Yes.
That's what I think, Danny. I think it's a preposterous question.
Okay. Okay. Good. Just making sure. It's a little heat check, a little temperature check.
If you're watching the YouTube show, it's our great Dino's at the wheel graph.
Dino's at the wheel always.
Well, one of my favorite photos of Dino of all time when he was at Coachella. And
yes.
He's wearing his aviators. It was his first season with the club. We were like, wow, this guy's fucking cool. Like,
yeah.
He's going to be a good manager for us. The vibe was set immediately out here in Coachella.
No doubt. And now the vibe, as we look at the Eastern Conference table and the next set of fixtures for Charlotte, it gets real, real because, Miami still has the game in hand. We do maintain a point ahead of them since they lost to Dallas on Sunday. Nashville's charging up the table there. 7 goals against Chicago on Saturday. They 4 from Sam Surge. They thrashed. Charlotte has to go to Nashville in about 12 days. Going to Columbus this weekend, going to Cary, North Carolina for the Open Cup against NCFC on the 6th, a midweek. If Charlotte beats NCFC and stays alive in the Cup, the next round, the round of 16 in the Cup, is the weekend of May 20th, I believe, and that's going to be a road match either in Charleston or potentially in D.C. That's going to be midweek falling between two home matches. This is the tester. We thought we had a tough start to the season, but as this campaign continues, Johnny, this is where the season, this is a crucible. Like, Charlotte FC got through a fairly difficult, a testing opening stretch of the campaign, but now it's about to get really real, really fast, because this stretch looks monstrous.
Yeah. And now that I see it, I just am even more disappointed that the 3 points did not accumulate on Saturday night, because it would have helped. And that's why we did the 12 out of 12, because we knew banking those 12 points, if a slide happened, could help you throughout the course of a long, long season.
Yeah.
So right now you don't want the slide to start. You need to bounce back with a win at Columbus, which is going to be obviously very difficult.
Yeah, Columbus looks like the class of the East. Cincinnati's won 5 in a row, but I would still take Columbus probably head-to-head against Cincy. Philadelphia looking great up there as well. But at the this stretch that ends, like, I'm showing the schedule, the next, 7 home league matches for Charlotte plus a cup game. The 8th game on that list is Charlotte at Philly, right? So Philadelphia is next, and they're up. So it just does not get any easier for the Crown. And not a lot of home matches. There's only 2 home matches in Bank of America Stadium until July. After these two, we play host Chicago on the 17th of May, host Columbus on the 24th of May, and then there's no home league matches until July 5th. So it's about to get really testy for the club. It's about really testy for the fans. It's going to test how bought in people really are here in Charlotte to this thing that's building. Heard a lot of talk in the last week or so about, oh yeah, like, I don't really follow soccer, but it's nice to have a Charlotte team winning. Oh, this is, I'm a Hornets fan, but Charlotte FC is way better than the Hornets. And like, oh, the Panthers have a draft. Who cares? I'm all about Charlotte FC. Now, all of a sudden, you don't get that 12 out of 12, and you start to wonder, does some of the casual fan support start to drift off? I don't know. What do you think?
It's a great question. I don't think it starts to drift yet. I think I was almost encouraged by the reaction on Sunday. I think people start to understand, or are starting to understand, that results matter, that these matches are point total matches. And that when this team's at home, the expectation is to win and to collect 3 points. And when they lose, people are like, what happened? And the best thing to do when you ask that question is to check out Charlotte Soccer Show, because we're here with you every week, Danny, because that's what we try to do. What happened on Saturday night? And just to bring it all full circle, when you show that schedule and you show those standings, I get excited about one thing. I really do. The Wilfred Zaha experience is a traveling road show, and we are going city to city. Strap in, because this ride is going to get even crazier. I mean, this guy is one of the best players in MLS. He's fiery. He's feisty. He's being fouled. He's got an edge. He wants to play well. If this guy can get fit, if he can get healthy and he wants to do this, it could be a really fun run on the Wilfried Zaha experience. Hey, if things go south, hopefully it's entertaining.
Stop chapping is all I have to say about that for sure. Stop chapping, folks. I'm excited for positive results. I believe in Charlotte. Like, we don't have to count those tough road games as losses. It's time to go out and get some points on the road and show what this club's all about. I want to end things as we wrap things up here, Johnny. There's a quote that Dean Smith gave at his press conference before the New England match. This is earlier midweek last week. And this, you talk about, you know, whenever something's happened with this club, go to the Charlotte Soccer Show. We'll get you set up for how to absorb it all and how to take it all in. And this is a quote from Dean that made me think of something that you say all the time, Johnny. And so I just want to play this and get your response to it. Because I listened to Dean say this and I said, holy shit, John Hayes is living inside of Dean Smith's brain telling him what to say right now.
It'd be great if performances just went like that, and it never does. You know, there's always, you know, there's always a little downturn somewhere, and you have to ride them waves and
gotta ride them waves, baby.
You do have to ride the waves, and it's the question that I ask anytime you think about that. You just which board are you gonna grab? You gonna grab the short board? Are you gonna grab the long board? What kind of the ride do you want to have? I think looking at that schedule and seeing how it's like, and just so the way people understand this is like, this is like midweeks every week in mm-hmm. May. And there's two matches a week for basically the next month.
Right. How about a road trip to New York Red Bulls in the middle of the week, May 28th? That sounds like an absolute disaster to me, but I mean, we're going to do it. So we got nothing to do it, but embrace it.
Yeah. So I'm going to grab my short board because it's choppy. It's choppy in the month of May for sure. These are quick, short rides. And
we're 2 months, 10 matches into the season, and we're just getting started. This has all truly been preamble to what the real story of the 2025 season is going to be. We've set ourselves up nicely, but there's a long damn way to go for sure.
I think that's a really good microcosm, Danny, of why MLS and soccer is a great sport to follow. Is because there's just the way the sport works is just there's constant storylines. It's not, it's always meaningful. There's something happening here. What's going to happen in a couple weeks league wide? Managers have already been fired. Like, yeah. Sack has already happened. Like, it would never, mm-hmm. it's a normal thing. It happens. And because the way that soccer works is about momentum, it's about riding that wave and being able to keep that momentum going. And when franchises feel like that momentum has stopped, they make changes immediately. They're just like, hey, we'll move on and we're going to do something new. And to that same point, Danny, it's like the league is great because on the other side of that, you've got teams that are at the top of the table that are absolutely cooking right now. And teams that maybe you wouldn't have expected to have a great start to the seasons. And I think Charlotte was that team. Charlotte has no doubt a target on its back. And so does Wilfried Zaha. That's the one thing, if I'm going to share like my honest concern with the next month, is that this team has a target on its back. I don't think that other teams at MLS like Charlotte. And I think Zaha makes that villain role even worse. Like, I think Charlotte is definitely one of the most hated clubs in the league for sure. Because people want it. You could see it on Carlos Hill's face. Like, mm-hmm.
He was shithousing for sure. Yeah. He was real happy. Yeah. He was real happy to get his lucky ass offside goal against us, which we've still never received official clarification of did VAR look at it? Was Polster considered offsides? He definitely made a move at the ball, but we never got any explanation there. It doesn't matter. There's no recourse. The game's over. We lost the points, as Dean said in the press as well. I love that take from you, Johnny, that Charlotte is a team that can be hated, because I embrace that. You know, I think I always talk about how much I hate the New York Red Bulls, and I think they love the fact that I hate them and that other people hate them. So I don't mind bringing that a little bit of that in-house as well. And, you know,
totally.
My haters love to love me. And all I can say is stop chapping, you know, stop chapping.
It's Charlotte Soccer Show. He's Danny Brams. I'm John Hayes. Follow us on socials. Make sure to subscribe on YouTube. If you haven't subscribed, you don't just get these episodes. You get incredible work by Danny Brams. You can follow The press conferences, you can follow, you know, what's happening at practice. He's got news, he's got goals, he's got everything for you on our YouTube page. We'll go live here soon as well. We've got interviews, the Dax McCarty interview, absolutely fantastic. I enjoyed that. So subscribe to the YouTube page to watch not just Charlotte Soccer Show, but all the great content that's been happening. Don't know if we're going to have an interview this week. Do you have an interview this week, Danny?
I've got an iron in the fire. I don't want to jinx it, but I'm out to a former striker who works for Apple, who has been commenting about Zaha's status on MLS wrap up. If you can put those dots together, you know who we might be able to talk to later this week, but I'm not going to jinx it by saying the name. So we'll see.
Stick around for that. Make sure you follow us on our podcast feed as well. I mentioned you can listen to the show, you can watch the show. We're here for the campaign. We're going to be taking you through the Charlotte FC 2025 season. Thanks for hopping on board, and until next time,
for the crown, baby.
Cheers.